everyone, welcome to Season 2, Episode 2 of A View from the Bridge. Here at A View from the Bridge, we try to give you the news, views, gossip from the Coors Belfast Giants. He's Patrick Smith.
And his name's Aaron Kernahan. This week on A View from the Bridge, we'll be chatting about the changes in the league table. There have been a couple. We're looking forward to this week's upcoming games against the Basingstoke Bison and the big doubleheader against the Edinburgh Capitals. And then we'll be chatting to Craig Simpson, who's a Newcastle Vipers fan, who's come on to chat about his team with us.
Don't forget, if you want to get in contact with us, you can email podcast@kingdomofthegiants.com.
You can get onto us on our website, www.kingdomofthegiants.com/podcast.
And, as with last year, it's back, the rant line. We have a new number this year, 0121-288-0855. So feel free to give us a shout on that and get your voice on the show.
So, Aaron, season two, episode number two, and there have been changes in the league table.
Yep, Giants had a weekend off last week. Let a few of the players disappear back over to Canada or America and
Italy
recharge
as well.
Their batteries. Yes, I believe. Do a bit of sightseeing and exploring, and why not? Well-deserved after the start we've had to the season.
Mm-hmm. And it's given the other teams a bit of a chance to catch up on us, but few teams have been able to catch up on our lead, but we're still top on 25 points.
Yep, up in second place now. Coventry Blaze, who've overhauled the Nottingham Panthers, who up until sort of 7 or 8 games ago were out in front in the league. So the Coventry Blaze have 20 points from 14 games. Nottingham Panthers have 18 points from 15 games, so it's looking good for Coventry there.
Yeah, Nottingham haven't had a terrible hangover from their European games in the Continental Cup, like we talked about last week, but got their first win this week, last weekend against the Newcastle
Vipers.
Was
it 10 or 11 games or something like that? Including those three games they played in Europe. So.
And rumours of a victory period through Lower Parliament Street are over-egged, I believe. Exaggerated.
Well, you never know. I mean, Forest and Notts County aren't doing too well either, so any success could be enjoyed over in that city at the moment.
Going down the league, Hull still in fourth, Sheffield in fifth, and Cardiff in sixth, and that's one team you really need to watch.
Yeah, but Cardiff are the only team really who have games in hand, and they've 6 games in hand, having only played 10 games, all of which have been away from home due to the problems with their rink. On a slight side note, having seen a few photographs of their rink, it looks like it's coming on quite well, but whether it'll be quite ready in the start of December, as they're hoping, I'm not 100% sure.
As we ourselves have had one of our own games delayed from last weekend.
Yes, we were meant to be there. That's why we had the week off. And we were meant to be over in Cardiff on Saturday there. That's been postponed to about a week after the rink studio open. I think the rink studio open on the 2nd. I think we're due over there on the 13th or something like that.
Was it the Secretini Dome?
The Secretini Dome, possibly, or the Mike Ware Dome, maybe.
It'll be interesting to see when it opens. And, of course, behind them is another team with, as we said last week, without a rink in Manchester, Phoenix, again, still playing their games on the road. And an interesting game on the road, a home game in Sheffield against Sheffield.
Yes, it was at the smaller facility just across the road from Sheffield Steelers Arena, the Ice Sheffield. Quite a clever bit of marketing there, actually, I think, I have to say, for Manchester. If you're sort of struggling, you may as well take it somewhere where you know you're going to get a big crowd in.
Mm-hmm. And apparently, Sheffield was packed for that game, but the Steelers at home, away, took quite an easy win, propelling them up the league table.
Yep, Steelers in fifth at the minute. Again, a team who look quite good on paper, but haven't maybe just quite clicked yet. But it could be interesting if they do. They've obviously one of the great players, one of the best players, Dan Tessier, there. So.
Yep. And then going down the league on below Manchester, we have Edinburgh and Basingstoke, who we'll talk about in a minute, and Newcastle, who we'll be chatting with Craig Simpson about later on in the show. So, this week's games, Thursday night, Basingstoke Bison return.
Basingstoke for the third game in a row. Mm-hmm. The way things have worked out, obviously with a home-and-home series against them, not last weekend, but the weekend before, which we managed to pick up two wins, so mm-hmm. hopefully a bit more of the same. A little bit of added spice to the game, I think, tomorrow night, or a little bit of added interest with some things we've been hearing coming out of the Giants camp.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it'll be interesting to keep an eye on who's wearing the C's and who's wearing the A's.
Yes, and I think if could be something that could I think could be well deserved.
I think so.
Based on the season so far.
I think so. We'll just ask people to keep an eye out. I mean, a Mucker and a Grinder's finally getting the recognition that he's deserved this season, having been playing really well.
And of course, turning into a bit of a scorer and a fighter.
Yeah, indeed, indeed. No names. Just keep an eye out. Just keep an eye out. And Basingstoke haven't had a few changes in their roster. Curtis Cruikshank.
Yes, they have actually. Since we played them, a change in goalkeeping, which I believe I mentioned last week mm-hmm. During the show, which seemed to have done quite well. His first game, he got a win against one of his old clubs, Nottingham. A few other changes there as well. They've got rid of Gav Ferrand, and the guy with the best name in hockey, Scott Spearing, has been released as well. But I think after Mark Morrison, who's about a foot and a half shorter, took him on in a fight, you know, it's a bit of face saving there, maybe.
Mm-hmm. Couldn't handle it and he had to go. Well, I'll be interested on Thursday night to see how that pans out, especially with it being our third game in a row against the Bison. But it's merely a warm up. For the fans, probably more than the player, but merely a warm up for a big weekend of. I'd like to say a big weekend of hockey, but a big weekend of drinking.
Yep, the second biggest weekend of the year, really, for the fans, I would say. Over in Edinburgh.
Yes, a double header against Edinburgh.
Obviously, the biggest one would be the playoffs, but I would say Edinburgh runs at a close second.
Mm-hmm. This is our first trip to Edinburgh this season, and it started off with...
Our first and second
trip in 2 days. And Saturday and Sunday we'll be up against the Capitals in the Murrayfield rink, and I'm looking forward to it, I have to say.
Yep, it's always a great wee sort of party weekend, really. Unfortunately, I can only make it over for the Saturday this year.
For sure.
So, that's just the way things are, unfortunately. But said it should be good. Probably expecting a good, 500 plus to be over a game. Maybe not for both games, but certainly for the Saturday. It'll be interesting to see if Hands Up for Hansen can be reprised after the successful start it made in Edinburgh last year.
Indeed, indeed. And Edinburgh, a team doing a lot better than they were doing last season. They're in eighth in the league with Basingstoke and Newcastle below them. Four wins, one overtime win, and 11 points.
Yep. And a lot more competitive as well. I mean, a lot of games that they've lost, they've only lost by the odd goal. Picked up some good wins. I think they've beaten Sheffield in Sheffield, which even when Sheffield aren't playing at their best, is a difficult place to go and win over there. So yeah, they're certainly looking more, a bit more dangerous than they did last year, which is what you want with a team. Obviously they were new to the league last year, and they've had a bit more time to get used to things and blood a few players last year who are maybe making a bit of a difference for them this year.
Mm-hmm. Well, the games face off at 6 o'clock on Saturday and 6 o'clock on Sunday, and anybody heading over, remind them that there's a rugby game on Saturday afternoon.
There is indeed, Scotland versus the Pacific Islands.
Yes, right next to the Murrayfield rink, so if you're making your way to the arena, be sure to be in good time because you might get caught in that traffic.
Or go to the rugby and then you won't have to worry about the traffic.
That's going to be a crap game. To be honest, come on, Pacific Islands.
Yeah, but you want to be able to say I was there when the Pacific Islands beat Scotland.
Well, that's a fair point. A fair one. But this isn't a rugby podcast, and this is a hockey one. Let's put my foot down here.
We're talking about Scotland. That's not rugby.
No, exactly. It's not rugby at all. Right.
Now to move on from insulting our Scottish listeners.
Earlier on today, we had a chance of talking to a friend of the show, a Newcastle Vipers fan, Craig Simpson, about how his team was getting on. On a View from the Bridge, we're very pleased to welcome Craig Simpson, who's here to talk to us about the Newcastle Vipers. How are you doing, Craig?
Hi, guys. I'm good. Yourselves?
Not too bad, not too bad.
Yeah, very good. Thanks, Craig, for joining us.
Yeah, not a problem. Looking forward to looking down from the bridge, see what it looks like.
You know, bridge-type structure, as we once argued, but that's a different story altogether.
Well, I'm, on Tyneside, I'm used to bridges, so that's not a problem.
So, from the heady heights of April and the playoff championship, Craig, to, well, rock bottom. Is that harsh to say?
Wait, it's the truth, so you can't get away from it. Yeah, I mean, the weekend in Nottingham, obviously, absolutely fantastic. It's what the kind of the club had been building up for, you could say. And then through the summer, obviously, they're trying to maintain that momentum with the team building and what have you. Some of the players that were being brought in didn't really meet with universal approval from the fans. A lot of the players who left, because like down the core of the team, you're Trevor Koenig in net, Jan Krajicek in defence, Matis Petrico up front. The core of the team wasn't retained for one reason or another. But the fans were willing to give Rob Wilson the benefit of the doubt. Obviously, he built the team last season, so they kind of trusted him to do the right thing. And then we come to the start of the season. The concern had been that the team wasn't going to score enough goals. With the tough guy that we had last year, we kind of gone up a step or two. So there was a worry we weren't going to score. First weekend, we had Hull in the Challenge Cup, and we scored 10 on them. We had Sheffield in the league, and we scored 5 past them. No problem. Things are going to be all right. Rob's done it again. Well done. And then after that, that's when the truth kind of hit home. And for one reason or another, the team didn't cut it early in the season. So obviously Rob's made a couple of changes. Last weekend it seemed to go all right. We had 2 wins, and then this week just gone 2 defeats again. So kind of back to square one.
Mm-hmm. There've been a lot of changes recently. Recent times over the couple of weeks as the seasons went on, especially Curtis Cruikshanks left you most recently.
Yeah, Curtis was probably the most difficult one to sort of understand. He still had a 90-odd% save rate, and yet Rob obviously moved him on and replaced him with Peter Aubrey. I think it was a combination with Curtis, him and the defence had kind of lost it somehow. Curtis was infuriating because he could one minute he could be absolutely fantastic and make 3 or 4 saves, you know, out of this world saves, and the next minute you'd have a wrist shot from the hash marks and it would go straight through him. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, there was a game up in Edinburgh, a Challenge Cup match we needed to win to make the semi-finals, and we got 7-4, I think we finished up losing, at least four of their Edinburgh goals. Were shots from around the, you know, face-off circle, the hash marks, and relatively straightforward goals for the netminder to give up. So I think it was a combination. The defence kind of lost confidence in him. Obviously a defence which was used to having Trevor Koenig there last year, so a bit of a difference. So I think it was just a case it was easier to make the one change than to replace the defence. So Curtis had to go. And obviously he's gone down to Basingstoke, and Sod's Law started with a win against Nottingham. That's the way things happen. But I mean, in Peter Aubrey, I think the Vipers have got a ready-made replacement and possibly an upgrade as well on Curtis. He was here last year with Cardiff. He knows the league. He knows a lot of the players. And early performances. He's played 4 games. He seems to have settled in very well. So it's looking good at the back.
There's been quite a few changes over there on Tyneside, not least, Curtis has went, and Brant Myers, a favourite of the Newcastle fans.
Oh, indeed, a living legend on Tyneside, yeah. I mean, Brant was brought in to play on the first line, and really he'd never played as a goal scorer since junior hockey. I mean, when he was signed, obviously, as fans do, the first thing you do is you look on HockeyDB, look at his stats, and you think, since he's turned pro, he hasn't scored 10 goals in his career. What the hell was signed for first line for? But again, people were willing to give Rob the benefit of the doubt. After all, last year he'd taken the BNL players, which were sort of derided by other teams. They're BNL players, they're no good. But he'd taken them and brought them into the playoff winning team. So give them the benefit of the doubt, actually see the guy on the ice. And then they saw the guy on the ice. And
not the best.
No. It was like, it was, I don't know what was wrong, if there's anything wrong, or if he just wasn't up to the job anymore, I don't know. But it was pretty obvious quite early on that he wasn't right for the role he was picked for. So, luckily, you could say for the Vipers, Corey Morgan was available again. So, Rob made the decision, cut Brant Myers, Matt Rich as well, who was a young forward signed from Edinburgh. He got moved on to Manchester, and that enabled him to bring in Corey Morgan. And that was the first of the changes. And then most recently, Matthew Beveridge, who'd been playing between the second and third line, he'd been in the Vipers for three seasons. Initially, when he was signed as well, it was only as a make weight, as a sort of 11th import, you could say, because he's local. He lives on the coast, lives in Whitley Bay. So he was kind of a spare import. So if anybody came along, Matthew would be the one to make way. And, as it happened, first line centre, which is something the fans have been crying out for two seasons, a dedicated first line centre. We've got this guy, Rod Hinks, looks very good, very quick, very skillful. So he's come onto the first line, and unfortunately Matthews had to leave us, and he seems to be bumping around. He had a spell at Manchester, and I think he's just been picked up by Sheffield, similar as in the APL. So, I mean, Matthews been a good servant for the Vipers, and he didn't disgrace himself in the Elite League at all. It was another one, fans, particularly on the forums, you know, we've got this first line centre in, who do you want to get rid of? A, B, or C? And obviously fans went for A, Rob Wilson went for B. So, we'll see how it pans out. I mean, the first line's looking better with the addition of Hinks. So, he's played four games, scored his first goal at the weekend. So we'll see how it pans out.
How do you personally see it pan out? Do you think it'll make a big difference, these changes? Do you see yourselves climbing up the league or staying down where you are at the minute? I know obviously you want to climb up the league, but do you think it's a possibility?
Well, the games, I mean, the last four games we've had have all been at home. We had a weekend off in between. We played Basingstoke, and we'd come back from 2-0 down to beat Coventry. And then we beat Basingstoke a bit more comfortably than we had a bit earlier in the season. So things were looking up. And then this weekend coming in against Cardiff on Saturday, jump out to a 2-0 lead after 3.5 minutes. Everything's looking rosy in the garden. And then, I don't know what it was, we just switched off, fell into a bit of penalty trouble, as Viper teams seem to do. And we ended up losing that one in the last minute, 3-2 to Cardiff. Same sort of thing on Sunday against Nottingham. Nottingham had went 2-0 ahead. We'd come back to 2-2. Start of the second, we were playing excellent hockey. Fast passing, moving, you know, everything was fine. And then again, just lost it. And we weren't able to get that third goal. So I think it's partly a confidence thing. I think we're still struggling with zero tolerance, as we all expected Newcastle to do, with the kind of team they have. But I didn't think it would still be troubling us into November. So, the changes that we've made, Aubrey, I think, is an upgrade on, Cruikshank. Morgan, obviously, bolsters the second line, and Hinks coming on the first line. On paper, we've got probably as good, if not slightly better, team than last year. But something's not right. It's not the last year. A lot of the things that got us by were team spirit and just hard work and just grinding the wins out. And that's not there this year. So I don't know what it is. So I think Rob and Paddy and Paul Throne have got to try and recover that team spirit from somewhere. Otherwise we could be bumping along the bottom all season.
There's been a lot of talk over the last week or so of a certain donkey.
Yeah, what's that coming out of the box?
Indeed. As you say.
Yeah. It's. I think Newcastle teams seem to have these characters. In the early years, it was Rob Drumbly. Fans either loved him or hated him. There was no middle ground. And with Andre Payet, it's exactly the same. Fans either love him or hate him. There's no grey area in between. He's either, you know, the heart and soul of the team, or he's a useless waster that's taking up valuable space and money on the first line. So,
what side of the fence are you?
Thanks for that. I kind of dug my own grave there. The Andre we had last season, early in the year, he was fit, he was feisty, he was scoring goals, and that was the Andre Payet we thought we had again this year, because he came back. Obviously, he'd lost a bit of shape through the season last year, but picked up towards the playoffs, and then when he came back this year, he lost weight, he was fit again, he looked, you know, lean and mean and ready to go. But again, he's just not the same player as last year. So I don't know. It's something we've been looking at. If you look at his stats, going back to the stats that you look at, he never seems to have been anywhere more than one season, two seasons. So whether he's got comfortable in Newcastle, I mean, I know he's got a fiancé now who's a local lass. So whether he's getting comfortable and he's getting too comfortable, I don't know. Something, whether it's move the lines up just to give him a kick up the backside, or whether he does need to be seriously look at replacing him, I don't know. But it's a tough one as well with the changes that have been made. Is there any money left in the kitty to make any more changes? We just don't know.
I have to agree with you that especially I remember quite a few goals last season from heading up and watching you guys up in the Metro Radio Arena, especially that last game of the league campaign against us, where you gave us a hammering. And one goal where he just stepped out of the box, took it to a stick on the left, and just wristed it into the far right. And it was a stunning goal and a great goal for him. And it proved that he is a goal scorer when he wants to be.
Yeah. I mean, when you talk to him and you say, oh, you're an enforcer, you're this, you're that. And it comes back to you and says, I'm not, I'm a power forward. That's what I play, I'm a power forward.
Okay.
And this is his words, so take it up with him next time you see him.
Maybe not.
So the role he played early last season, he was a power forward. He was hitting, he was agitating, he wasn't really taking many stupid penalties, and he was scoring goals. And then, for some reason, it stopped. He scored 4 or 5 goals all season so far. And for a first-line wingman, I don't think that's good enough.
What about moving on from that? Your aspirations and what exactly the Vipers can achieve? Do you think that you can make it to another playoffs, especially with the way it's been playing at the minute?
I think we've got to look at sort of getting some sort of form together. And I mean, for all bottom of the league, we've still got, I think, 41 league games left.
Mm-hmm.
Because obviously with the 10 teams, there's 54 league games. I think we've only played 13. So there's still plenty of time to turn things around and sort of move up the table. I think the best we'll be looking would be sort of around the middle, 4th, 5th. And then with the playoffs this year, obviously, are just a 2-game head-to-head quarter-final, sort of 1-8 sort of thing. So as we showed last year, in a shortened series, I think it would still be very dangerous, but
anything can happen.
Yeah, I mean, all you need is 2 games, and you can get a Nottingham for the semi-finals. And as we showed last year, on a one-game series, which semi-final and final were, sort of we can take it with the best of them. So
how did we lose that semi?
Right, do you want us to talk it through here? Let's see, because we went and we scored like 4 times, and you scored, I think it was 2 or 3 times, and then
two.
Because, yeah, so that's how. To be honest, I don't know how we won. We got the jump.
That's honestly fair.
Yeah, wait, yeah, we got the. It was like the the Newcastle team a few years ago that beat Sheffield in the semi-final.
Mm-hmm.
It was just so, the odds were just so against Newcastle. It just, but anyway, I shall relive that on the DVD very shortly.
Well, our 14, our, I don't care what you say, our 14 is still better than yours.
Yeah.
We started a little thing with our guests last week where we, with Big Paul, the Giants announcer, where we go through a few games with you and ask you to give us your thoughts just on possible, maybe possible results. We've picked out four from this weekend. Do you want to take the first one, Paddy?
All right, we've had a look at the first game we asked you to have a look at, Craig, was the Bison against the Stingrays.
I was having a look to see what they'd kind of done against each other. They've only played once, so that's no real pointer. Basingstoke at home are always a different proposition to Basingstoke on the road. And Hull have kind of taken our mantle, I would say, this year. That's kind of the team that's come in expected just to be bumped along the bottom, but surprising a lot of people. I mean, Hull's, when they shut Nottingham out in Nottingham, I think that made a lot of people sit and take notice. So, it's a tough one. I'm going to say 3-2 to Hull on that one.
And the second game, I actually have a wee look at, involving your own team, was Coventry against the Vipers.
Yeah, Coventry Newcastle, always interesting matches. There's a lot of sort of friendship between the two teams. So whether it's a case of familiarity breeding contempt, I don't know. But Blaise Vipers, even in the BNL days, right through to last season and early this season, they've always been feisty physical affairs. I'm expecting more of the same down there. But for all that, I don't think we've been getting the rub of the green down there lately. So much as it pains me, I'm going to say Blaise 4-2. Unless Trevor gives us a goal as he's done in the last two games so far.
For all time's sake, yeah.
Yeah.
Next game we ask you to look at is a team that Vipers fans love, as far as I'm aware. Sheffield against Cardiff.
Yeah, the two Club Phillips games. Yeah.
Sister teams, as we refer to them here, sister teams.
Which one's the farm team, though? That's the question.
That is the question.
Well, we saw Cardiff, obviously, at our place at the weekend. And I was very impressed by Cardiff. Obviously, they've been playing all of their games away from home. They haven't had any home games so far this season. And they seem to have a solid team. And I kind of never say die. Obviously, we were up 2-0 on them, and they fought back and came back and just didn't lie down. So, I've only seen Steelers once this year, and that was early in the season when we got the edge on them. Second game of the season, so I don't really know what they're about much so far. I'd probably say the Devils by 2 on that one. 5-3.
Okay. Then the final game, Manchester Phoenix against the Nottingham Panthers.
Again, we've only seen Nottingham once, and that was just at the weekend. And for all they turned us over, I wasn't impressed. It's not sour grapes. I mean, we were absolutely abysmal. But I don't know what's happened to the Panthers since October when they were leading the league, and then they went away to the Europeans, and then they've come back and hardly been able to string any results together until they turned up at our place on Sunday. So wasn't impressed by the Panthers. The Phoenix, they absolutely whooped us 6-2 at our place. We're very impressed with them as any Tony Hahn kind of team. So I would go with the Phoenix on that one, 4-3. Yeah.
Fantastic. Well, you're up against a difficult score to beat last week. We give a point for the correct result either way, and a point for the winning team if you guess that right. So, right. And last week, out of a maximum of 8, Big Paul came up with a high score of 2. What we'll do is we'll compare scores next week, and we'll put together some sort of hierarchy league system, and see how our guests do as the season goes on. But for that, I'd just like to thank you for coming on, Craig, for taking the time to join us here on A View from the Bridge.
Not a problem. Enjoyed it. Yeah, enjoyed the crack. Not a problem.
Maybe speak to you again later on in the season. Find out how the Vipers are getting on as the season progresses.
Yeah, when we come breathing down your neck again.
So hopefully you'll be in better form.
What, me or the team?
Both.
Yeah, I mean, as the song goes, things can only get better. So, yeah, we'll turn it around, I'm sure, says he, crossing everything. And we'll, yeah, we'll catch up with you later, guys.
Okay. Well, thanks very much, Craig.
Yep, thank you very much. No problem.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thanks very much to Craig Simpson for taking the time out of his hectic schedule to join us for the show. As you heard at the end there, when we chat about this week's upcoming games, a few predictions. I think it's time maybe to have a wee look back at how last week's guest, Paul McLean, got on with his predictions, Paddy.
Yes, Paul had a few predictions last week, and as you heard in the interview there, we were given 1 point for a correct scoreline and 1 point for a correct winner. And out of those, at a maximum of 8 points, and Paul got 2. He said that Edinburgh would beat Manchester 3-1, whereas Manchester actually beat Edinburgh 8-4.
It was close.
He said Newcastle would beat Nottingham 2-1, and in fact Nottingham beat Newcastle 3-2.
He got the Vipers bit right anyway.
No, he didn't.
Oh, well.
Pay attention, man. He said that Basingstoke would beat Coventry 4-2. In fact, Coventry beat Basingstoke 4-2, but he still gets a point for getting the right scoreline. We're nice like that. And he said that Sheffield would beat Manchester 5-4 in overtime, whereas Sheffield did beat Manchester, but only 4-2, and he gets a point for that. So that's 2. As the season goes on, we'll put all these scores together, and we'll buy a Mars bar for the winner.
Or, of course, what? Something a bit cheaper that we can afford between us.
Chomp.
They're up to 15p now.
Disgraceful. Disgraceful. If you've heard anything... If you've heard anything in the interview from the bridge, if you heard anything in View the Bridge that's enraged you, or anything that you want to chat about, of course you can contact us here on A View from the Bridge, and there are certain ways of going about it.
Yep. Email podcast@kingdomofthegiants.com.
You can look at our website at www.kingdomofthegiants.com/podcast.
And of course the new favourite, hopefully. Get your voice heard. Give us a call, 0121-288-0855.
We'll be back next week. Well, if I've recovered from a weekend at Edinburgh.
We'll be back. Yes, we'll be back next Thursday, hopefully.
Yes, and giving you the post-mortem of the Edinburgh weekend.
And, of course, the Basingstoke game.
And the Basingstoke game, indeed. So we'll see you next time here in A View from the Bridge.
Goodbye.